Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have a really great guest on. I'm actually excited to have him on. And as we talk, all of you who are listening will understand why. So I'm going to bring him on right away. His name is Philip Schaefer. So, Philip, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Now,
and,
Phil, go ahead.
I'm happy to inform your audience about longevity.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. So, Philip, let's do this. Let's start by you telling the listeners a little bit about who you are and kind of what you've been doing in the last 35 years.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I started out getting really influenced about 35 years ago when I worked for the Royal Society of Medicine in London. And at that time, I didn't really know too much about anything except I was so exposed to so many doctors from 60 different countries at various symposiums, and it was curious to listen to them, and most of them were financed by pharmaceutical firms. And I thought, well, gee, that's interesting. They're pushing product here, but what do they know about medicine?
Mm-hmm.
And it came right down to the fact that in studies of arthritis, and back problems, and head problems, and various other bone problems, they found that aspirin worked just as well as anything else.
Amazing, huh?
Yes, that is amazing. So from there, my curiosity heightened, and I started bumping shoulders with various doctors from all over the world, and my question was like a neophyte. I'd just say, well, why would you prescribe that? What's in it? They didn't know. So I came right down to finding out that something as simple as apple cider vinegar or just plain ordinary water is a great healing source. And during that time, I met Dr. Bhaktivedanta, who wrote a book called Your Body's Many Cries for Water. And he explained that most people are so dehydrated, that's what causes disease. So that was my investigation into water, and that's how it all began. Water is the fountain of youth.
Do you think that a lot of people, Philip, you know, think that water is just there when you're only thirsty, and when they tell you you should have at least 8 glasses a day or more, they just somehow don't quite understand that that's important, and they will think, well, if I drink coffee or I drink some pop, you know, that has water in it.
You know, you're so right on that, actually, Nancy. The body is 75% water, the human body. And what people don't know about is the fact that blood is 90% water.
Mm.
And so when you become dehydrated and everything like that, your entire system shuts down. But you have 70 trillion cells in your body, and you actually feed off of them, but you shouldn't be using them up for existing. They should be used for helping protect your immune system and so forth and so on. So when you don't drink water, enough water, you're actually starving yourself to death.
And I'm sure now a lot of people who are listening are going, now wait a minute, how could that possibly be? I eat food. And they say that the food has water in it, like lettuce. It's supposed to have water in it. I drink my coffee. You know, I drink maybe a couple glasses of water a day. How could I possibly drink more?
Well, actually, soda and coffee and all those drinks that I've used to consume myself have not got the hydrogen and oxygen molecules in them, like plain, ordinary water.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tea, it's Coke, it's soft drinks, it's whatever, beer, etc., that does not contain hydrogen and oxygen molecules. That's the problem.
Is there a way, now, here, let's ask this a better way. I have heard through the grapevine by several people that there is a way to actually enhance the water by adding more of, you know, what you were just talking about to the water. Now,
uh-huh.
Is that a fact, or is it kind of a fallacy?
Yes, it is. Actually, one of the most healing facts of any kind of adding to water, I don't know if we're on the same page there or not, but I was talking about hydrogen water, adding it's what they call a water stick. It comes out of Japan, and it actually increases the hydrogen content. We have water is actually H2O, which is hydrogen and oxygen, right? And it adds an extreme amount of hydrogen to the water. And what that does to the body is actually detoxifies the entire body so that you generally feel and smell better.
Oh, so I like that last part.
Is that what you were thinking of?
Yes.
It also hydrates your body. You see, your skin, as an example, we wash our skin, but the skin is the largest organ in your body. And when you fill your body with 6-8 glasses of water a day, it actually is effectively hydrating your body, and you get younger-looking skin. Wrinkles disappear, believe it or not. And your skin becomes more elastic. Now, most people, I happen to be 82 years old, and most people look at me and can't believe I'm over 65.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not in a dark room.
And that's good. Like, I'm 60, and most people, they look at me and they go, you're 60? It's like, well, yeah. You know?
Well, you're smart. You must drink enough water. That's the real secret.
Oh, I love water. I mean, I drink tons of water. I don't drink coffee, and I don't drink tea, but water, I've got to have my water.
Yeah, and you know, if you drink a good amount of water, you'll see your wrinkles start to disappear and your skin become more elastic. You'll get stronger, thicker hair and stimulate better growth. It's just amazing what water can do, or lack of water, and most people that have arthritic problems and bone problems and eye problems, etc., are lacking water. Their bodies are dehydrated.
Again, I'm sure a lot of people don't know that. One of the things my mom used to always ask me, I have a very hard fingernails, and I have a lot of hair. I'm a Leo, so I have a lot of hair. And she'd go, man, how come you have so much hair, and how do you get your nails so hard? And my answer to her always, without knowing, is I drink a lot of water.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Nancy. That is exactly right. Yeah, and most people, as they say, Batman Getty, who has studied this for 40 years and wrote the book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, actually realized that people were dying, getting sick because they were not drinking enough water. The body was actually shutting down. It could not operate. It's like wheels that need to be oiled. The body needs water.
See, and that's real important that you're pointing that out because, again, I really think that people have a hard time with the idea of drinking a lot of water.
Uh-huh.
You know, then the other thing that they've done is they've added all of these booster waters, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know some of the names. I don't buy them, but, you know, they're out there, and they're supposed to give you more energy, and they're supposed to do this, but what's really in that is either good for people or harmful for people?
Well, it for the most part, all of the research that's gone into bottled water that's available on the shelf, so to speak, is nothing more than what you're getting out of the tap.
Mm-hmm.
It may be filtered, it may go through some reverse osmosis, but by the time it's bottled in plastic and what have you, it just really is not that beneficial. It's better to get the water from the tap and filter it than anything else. Or you can use this hydrogen stick, which comes out of Japan, and it creates minerals and so forth and so on, as well as hydrogen. And it can be used with ordinary tap water and actually filter that out. The hydrogen itself cleanses it.
That's pretty neat. Now, you also mentioned about minerals.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are under the impression that they don't need minerals any more than they need water.
Oh, they need that. You're right. They need it just as much as water.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what makes the organs and particularly the bones strong. And now women, as they pass 60, 65, generally get into problems with osteoporosis, which is brittle bones.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting thing to share with everyone here that's listening is that when people, you hear about a person breaking their hip and they say, well, how'd that happen? Well, she fell and broke her hip. But the real story is the hip broke, and then she fell.
And I've heard that.
Yeah, that's from brittle bones. And again, it's from lack of minerals and water. And the water carries the minerals, and that's why even tap water has more minerals generally and what's going through us, reverse osmosis commercially,
mm-hmm.
and into a bottle, and it's just not great water. It's advertised to be great water, but it generally isn't.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned, and you kind of phrased it a little bit, and they put it in plastic.
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit about, you know, why you kind of phrased it like that?
Well, unfortunately, the plastic is a petroleum product, and it leaches. And there are different qualities of plastic. If you were to buy a good plastic, which they won't give you for a dollar bottle of water,
mm-hmm.
That's okay. But generally, the water is bottled in a very inexpensive, lightweight plastic that does leach. And unfortunately, this water stays on the shelf sometimes as many as 2 or 3 weeks, before maybe even more, before it goes from the source to the store and is picked off the shelf. During that time, a certain amount of these petroleum gases and products are actually leaching into that water that you're drinking, and it's been found to be quite dangerous in certain sources,
mm-hmm.
not all across the board. But generally, I say I stay away from plastic.
Okay. One of the things, I mean, like, I remember as a kid that everything came in a glass bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it always tasted to me really crisp, like water would taste really
yes.
crisp if it was in a glass bottle. And people try to tell me all day long, you can't taste water. And I go, now wait a minute. I can taste different kinds of water. You know, there's a certain water, you know, that is a very big seller that I really do not like. And I can taste the difference because to me it tastes exactly like plastic.
Yes. Well, you have a sensitive taste, and that's probably because you're not smoking and you're not drinking a lot of coffee.
No, I don't do those things either.
Yes, if you're sensitive to that, particularly a child can tell the difference because they have such virgin tongues and taste buds. But as you get older and you cleanse, and this is the value of coming up to my age and feeling like you're 18.
Mm-hmm.
The free radicals are reduced and it lowers saturated fat levels. Cholesterol levels are lowered. There's an effectiveness with all clean water that's going into you as being like just cleansing. It's detoxifying your body and refreshing. All your organs will actually come back to new. And it's quite interesting, you know, to think about if you cut the body is amazing. If you cut yourself, you don't have to do much more than clean the wound, and that's it. It heals in 2 or 3 days. It's all healed and forgotten. But what magic. Amazing. It just gathers together and binds it up and seals it up and covers it over without you even thinking about it. Now, when you use a lot of water in your body, the same thing is happening with infected organs or
mm-hmm.
or problems with the bloodstream. Whatever you have is actually going to become detoxified and cleansed.
Hmm. Again, a lot of people, you know, they're probably listening going, I didn't think water is that important.
Well, you know, our forefathers weren't too far off when they said water, the fountain of youth. And it really is the fountain of youth. Just
you
keep
know,
on drinking it.
And I really think that people need to kind of understand that. Now, for 35 years, you've actually been doing a lot of study with the medical profession. So,
that's right.
You know, and it's not that you're a doctor, so let's make that clear, okay?
That is correct.
In the 35 years, you have learned a tremendous amount. Things that people would probably hear you say and go, no, that can't be true.
Yeah.
Okay? So, like, I remember when I was in nurses training, I used to have the hardest time with the medical profession because I could not agree with the things that they did. I couldn't agree with how they treated the people. I couldn't agree with what all they wanted the people to take. You know, so I was a rebel, and I'm the first to admit it.
Bless you.
Okay, but I don't know any other way to be, actually. But the thing is I remember, even when I was in training, I would say constantly to the people, the doctors are getting a kickback from these pills and these medicines.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they keep trying to give them out to everybody. They don't really have enough time to know what's in there, but they keep giving them out. And
that's
the
right.
People tell me, Nancy, you're just nuts. Now, let's have a different point of view. Do you think that the medical profession, when it comes to the pills, that the doctors really have time to study all of these pills that are being promoted constantly on television?
No, they don't. You know, that's the sad point. And they're actually influenced greatly by the pharmaceutical industry. And it takes a lot of weight off their back, so that it's like a crutch. And unfortunately, they depend on it. I've been called in quite a few cases where people have been, actually bodies are shut down because they had too many antibiotics put into them, or suffered from heavy doses of anesthesia or one thing or another. But I like to go back to a quote here by Thomas Edison, because this goes back over 100 years ago. It's just three lines. The doctor of the future, this is what I'm depending on, will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease. Thomas Edison.
That's pretty powerful.
It's very true, and we hope it's going in that direction. Now, a lot of countries in this world are going in that direction. Unfortunately, our country seems to be, under the spell of pharmaceutical care, and that's unfortunate. It's too much, too many pills.
Why do you think that the American people don't question this?
Well, unfortunately, Nancy, I think they feel that their doctor is God, and they depend on him. They have all the trust in him, and they don't know which way to turn, so they don't read really much and so forth and so on. But I must tell you that in my book of the Longevity Code, and I'd like to suggest that your listeners might tune into that, later on, but the thing is, the average doctor lives to be 58 years old. And why is that? And now I think it's up to 63. What does he know, in a way, of taking care of himself? And he probably is feeding himself too many pills. I know it's a very stressful job, mm-hmm. and I have great honor and praise for the doctors of this world, but I think they've been kind of hoodwinked into thinking this is the shortcut to saving lives. And in actual fact, the latest statistics show that 250,000 people were killed last year in American hospitals. Now, that's not died. They were killed. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It means they were overdosed with drugs. Basically, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just had a case with, I think it was Dennis Quaid, who had the twins. I think that's who it was. Somebody who's a movie star had twins, and the twins were overdosed with a very powerful drug.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and it was a mistake, but nevertheless, you know, again, my background being as a nurse,
yeah,
there you're taught certain things to check, you know, and it kind of baffled me how it could happen that badly, where it was just a constant overdose of those children. But it happened. You know, and everybody goes, well, you know, that just is impossible.
Yeah, that's not too uncommon, unfortunately. It's then we can go to the inoculations that are going on now. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable that the child before the age of 6 has to go through 36 inoculations. Now, what happened to that? And then we have autism and so forth and so on, and that's an entirely different subject. How come all of a sudden all the children in this country are 1 out of every 150, it's down to now 1 out of every 130 are diagnosed with autism? And that's just dreadful. The rest of the world, lots of other countries, including England, Germany, France, et cetera, it's more like 1 out of 1,000.
Mm-hmm. No, we call what we do here progress, and I call it very much deprogress, in my opinion. You know, Now, let's talk about, you just talked about children, so let's talk a little bit more about the children, which is, you know, what I'm really into.
Yes.
When it comes to the children that are labeled with ADD, ADHD,
yes,
and given all of these drugs, like they're candy, okay, I have a problem with that concept because, to me, these children are truly our future here, and if they are all drugged like this, there's not a future.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. This is the saddest thing in the world, and fortunately, in my own family, my daughter has been influenced by my thoughts and has never allowed her children to have any inoculations whatsoever. They are the healthiest boys and girls you'll ever meet, and they're smart, and they're happy, and so forth and so on. And it was a tough fight. I mean, they almost threatened her to keep the children out of school because she wouldn't go for these inoculations. So I believe thoroughly that that has to be stopped. And there are other poisons besides the inoculations, and that's fluoride. Fluoride in our water. That's also very difficult on children. And we pour that down their throats. I mean, it's just, and then we give it to them in the dentist chair or in toothpaste and so forth and so on. And do you know that the amount of fluoride that is in one tube of toothpaste would kill a child if it somehow was to eat it? That's the real truth. Fluoride is a rat poison.
Yeah, they bring this up like it's something that's great and wonderful, and I have really hard times with all of this.
Those are not true stories. They say on tooth decay, they found one town in South Carolina, I believe, that had the low rate of tooth decay, and they examined the water and they found traces of fluoride in it, and so they used that as an advertising slogan 45 years ago. They never went to another town, never had any further research, and for all these years they've been saying how it eliminates tooth decay or cavities. Unbelievable.
And again, our American people here just swallow it all up like, okay.
Yeah, by the way, Nancy, any of these remarks that we're talking about right now can be researched and proven by literally having your audience go to the Internet and checking. The real facts are there.
Can you tell the listeners again the name of your book, if you have a website, email address, how they can get a hold of you?
Yes, thank you so much. It's the Longevity Code book. And actually, the website, it's on really simple secrets on how to increase your longevity, but pain-free and health-free and eyeglass-free and et cetera, just enjoying life as you did when you were 20, 30, 40, 50. So continue that to 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. My website is longevitycodebook.com. And I'm happy to offer free of charge my book, ebook, online to anyone that wants to go to that website. I am personally interested in helping humanity and getting away from all these drugs.
Which, again, I think is just so important. The other thing I have, now, when I had talked to you about a couple weeks ago, you'd also talked about the eye.
Oh, yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit so people understand that, too.
Well, it's really interesting because I wore bifocals for 35 years. I started wearing glasses after having malaria in World War II when I was 20 years old. And I wore glasses until I was 60. And I was having dinner with Dr. Stephen Cheng, who was a brilliant Eastern, actually Chinese medicine man and Western medicine man, who has written 14 books, and The Great Tao is one of them. And he looked at me and he said, you know, you don't need to wear those glasses. And I laughed at him. And he said, no, I'm serious. You don't need to do that. All you have to do is detoxify your liver and do some eye exercises, and you'll be, you know, free of your glasses. So preserving your eyesight actually begins with the care and nourishment of your liver. The eyes and the liver are interconnected. And that's rather interesting, and how I would prove it to you is that if you go out and have a lot of alcohol, guess what happens? You get red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't put the alcohol on your eyes. You put it on your liver. So that's an indication. But I'm happy to talk about eyes, and I think it's just so fascinating that all the blood, that's what I mentioned to you, Nancy, is that all the blood in your body actually filters through your eyeballs every 28 minutes. Imagine that.
That's amazing.
That's where they get the light. And of course, that's why it's beneficial actually not to wear dark glasses and to look at the blue sky, because that is actually cleansing your eyes. And we tend to, as this particular race, we're going around the world with dark glasses, hiding ourselves from the sun, which is so beneficial.
Yeah, people talk about, oh, I can't go out in the sun, I can't go out in the sun. And it's like, do you even have a clue what the sun does for you?
Well, it's so full of vitamin D, and actually, if I was diagnosed with cancer, the first thing I'd do is take all my clothes off and sit in the sun, because that is vitamin D, and vitamin D and cancer cannot exist together in the same room.
Hmm. A lot of people, I'm sure, do not know that.
Yeah, it's very important. And again, all this information is in my book, and I'm so happy to have share it with everyone that's listening just by going to my website. And you'll see you can download the book, e-book, and if you want a hard copy, then there's information on how to get the hard copy.
Give out your website again so that people can
get it. Yes, it's www.longevitycodebook. The one word, longevitycodebook.com.
When people talk with you, because I'm sure that you've made yourself pretty loud and pretty clear, I would assume, right?
Yes, I think so.
Well, I think so, too. So when people approach you and ask you why you may believe the way that you believe, what do you tell them?
Well, very simply, I think it would surprise your audience to know that I was not a well person. This is how all of this started. I was in World War II. I had malaria. I encountered ill health for my earlier years. I had dengue fever. I had hepatitis. I had osteoarthritis, gout, heart problems. I was suggested to have open heart surgery when I was 49 years old. I had poor eyesight, as I just explained. I had allergies and skin cancer. I was in the hospital with diverticulitis and arteriosclerosis and elevated cholesterol. So I think, gee, this is no fun. And I started talking to various people, and as I say, I went to the Royal Society of Medicine. I was contracted there as a promoter and marketing person, and I started to find out that you really can just heal yourself. As I explained with the cut finger, it heals over if you allow it. So I got off of alcohol, and I started drinking more water, and I started eating a correct diet, and everything went away. It was that simple.
And I know that you say it was that simple. I mean, because with all the stuff that you had, I mean, you're in pretty bad shape. Let's face it, you're in pretty bad shape for being as young as you were, okay?
Yes.
And a lot of people, I think, are probably just as bad off, and they may not even know that. So is there a way that they can do like a little, you know, any kind of like a little test on themselves to kind of see where their health might be without having to go to the doctor and the doctor say, well, you have this, and you have that?
You know, that's a good question, and I really would think about that. I think, for one thing, to find out how far you can walk without going out of breath.
Okay.
That's the first clue that I had. I lived on top of a hill, and I could not get from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill without stopping three or four times, and that was less than a half a mile. And it was like, oh, my. And of course, I smoked cigarettes for many years, and that was a problem. But I thought, I've got to get better breath, get my breath back. So that was one. failing eyesight is another. Sleepless nights, various other things are signs that your body is out of balance. Gaining too much weight is a big one. Most people tend to fall into overweight, and then they get into diabetes and so forth and so on. So you know your belt line should be more like it was when you were probably 25 instead of the way it may be at 60 or 55. So that's a sure sign of the fact that the body's going downhill. If you don't feel well, that's usually the reason. It needs to be cleansed and detoxified.
Well, there's many different kinds of cleanse out there. They have liver cleanse, they have colon cleanse. They have a lot of different things that they advertise on a constant basis. Is there a simplified way for our listeners that are listening to do their own kind of cleanse without going out and having to buy any of these products?
Yes, yes. I'm so glad you asked that question because I just discovered it a couple of months ago, and it is actually miraculous. It is the hydrogen mineral water stick, hydrogen-rich water stick. And let me tell you how that happened. There's a Dr. Hayashi in Tokyo who happened to see my website. And he is into longevity, and he's made studies on water and longevity for 30 years. Very famous researcher throughout the world. You can find him on the internet anywhere. And so he got in touch with me, and he said, we're brothers. We're brothers. He called me a soulmate in longevity. He said, let me tell you about my hydrogen water stick. Sorry, there's a helicopter going by here, but at any rate, you can find out a lot of that information by just going to the words hydrogen water stick. It's www.hydrogenwaterstick.com. Now, let me tell you what it does. It'll detoxify your entire body. We have never experienced this in our lives. We've done every which way from colonics to massages to chelation therapy and so forth and so on. This water stick, by just drinking this water, actually will change everything about you, as I mentioned. Your body will generally feel and smell better. Everything, you'll could notice it right away. It's a fast notice. Within probably three or four days of drinking this water, you'll feel completely different, and you'll be amazed. So I recommend that as a quick way to detoxify your entire body, and you will generally feel better. That's what we need. We've got to get rid of all these chemicals that we've been eating, all the insecticides that we've been smelling, and so forth and so on, and drink good, clear water, and somehow we just stay clean of, try to eat more organic foods, as an example, because of the insecticides.
Do you think it would be wise if people kind of started to grow their own food?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I do. I do. I think the problem is with commercial food is that the sprays and all the fertilizers and insecticides and everything, like, we're actually ingesting this into our system. Unless you buy organic, once you eat an apple, as an example, that's not organic, you're getting all sorts of chemicals ingested into your body. Now, you can get rid of them, but they're still detrimental. They cause a lot of problems.
What do you think about the, let's start with the beef and how they're giving them extra hormones in order to beef them up, let's say. What do you think that does to the people who are eating the beef that have the extra hormones in it?
They get it. They get it 100%. They eat the meat and they get the toxins, the hormones, and everything else like that. It's one of the reasons that so many people are obese. They're just eating that junk food, actually. Unfortunately, the way they slaughter the cow and so forth and so on, and then they ingest that into their body. And it actually can make them angry, too, because the cow is scared, frightened, and that's all brought into your own system when you eat that, even though it's been cooked in one thing and another. So those toxins, those poisons that they put into it when they beef them up, it's really pitiful.
Yeah. The other thing is that they always advertise to buy these over-the-counter vitamins. You need vitamins, vitamins, vitamins. I mean, and they push them like crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, very few of them really are of any quality, unfortunately. So many of those vitamins today are coming out of China, and they're just mass-produced, and they sell them and so forth and so on, but they just do not have the benefits of fresh vegetables and fruits. That's the best way to go. In certain cases, you may need a boost of selenium, certain minerals and herbs and so forth and so on. Vitamin C, if you can get it straight, ascorbic acid is the best method. That's probably the best vitamin going, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, but it has to be from a quality house.
When the kids are given the beef that have the extra hormones in them, mm-hmm. could that possibly be causing a lot of the children to start to have their growth, you know, like little girls,
yes.
8, 7, and 8, developing breasts?
The breasts, absolutely. That's the cause. That is the cause. And guess what? They don't just get it from beef. Chickens, the chicken breast, the turkey breast, what have you, is actually pumped up, and then you eat it. So you can imagine you're getting those hormones that are pumped into these chickens. You're getting it in the egg. You're getting it in the breast meat. And then guess what happens? Little 12-year-old girls got breasts. Or something now 7 and 8.
Yeah, you're seeing it. And, you know, and I don't believe that the normal everyday person who goes to the grocery store and will buy a gallon of milk, for example, or buy a thing of hamburger, understands that this is what's going on.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I know. And I guess they're not going to broadcast that either. That's the point. And milk, actually, you should stay away from if you're over 20. And you should probably be very careful, unless you can get a real good quality milk. It's going to be full of toxins.
What about raw milk?
Well, raw milk's very good.
See, I was raised, every summer I was sent down to my grandparents' farm with my three brothers and myself.
Oh, you're lucky.
Oh, yeah, I think every single child should be able to do that. And we had, you know, he had cows there. We used to ride the cows because they didn't have horses. But we used to drink raw milk all the time.
Oh, that's wonderful. You have strong bones and a strong constitution, and you're healthy, I'm sure, because of that. All, when you were developing, if you could have that opportunity in your life, you'll live to be 90 or more. But pain-free, disease-free, that's the point.
When it comes to pasteurizing the milk,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they give you this big thing that, you know, there's all these germs in the milk and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
Does pasteurizing really add anything of value to the milk?
No, pasteurizing actually takes away from everything, even pasteurized orange juice. When you see the word pasteurized, you see it reduces the strength and the quality of the product.
They also come up with all these things about you shouldn't eat butter and you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that. What if somebody went back to our old ways, like again when I was a child, and just ate all the natural stuff, you know, and ate just, you know, like you're supposed to? Would that be making a difference with a lot of the health and stuff in today's world?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, definitely. Those people lived very healthy lives that ate that. Of course, they could have been exposed to other things, the radiation or one thing or another, that would cause the pollution and that they breathe and so forth and so on. So it's discounted. But the actual fact of living healthy, pollution-free, we should live to 120 without a problem, and we should enjoy every moment of it, whether it be able to see, be able to smell, all the good things of life.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't know if you can answer it or if you want to. And if you can't or won't, that's okay. There are a lot of older people being diagnosed with Alzheimer's, starting at a very early age now.
Right.
Is there something that the people who, say, are in their late 30s, early 40s, can do to help prevent the onset of Alzheimer's?
Absolutely. And guess what? When you're 82, as I am, that's one of the big worries you have out there. Oh, gee, I hope I'm not losing it. You know, so I've been thinking about that probably for 25 years. When I approached the 60s, you know, 70s, I thought, wow, what's going on here? Because I actually have lost people to Alzheimer's. There's quite a bit of dementia around this part of California and so forth and so on. So I made some in-depth studies on that. And I can tell you that the secret of everything is blood circulation. As long as you have blood circulation going up through your head and around, it's cleansing. Because the blood cells actually come in, clean up the dead ones, and take them out. And it's just a constant revolving circus of cleansing. So circulation is the key. Now that means, for an example, I stopped sleeping with a pillow because I thought that if my head were flat, I would get more blood into it while I slept, and that's a true fact. There are also things like slant boards. Some people tilt their head off the end of the bed for 15 minutes. But other people stand on their head. By the way, I can stand on my head. And that helps to bring circulation into the head and definitely would help with Alzheimer's. But the big cause of Alzheimer's came to me when I was a good friend that I met in the Tesla Society in Colorado. He's a heart surgeon, and he said, you know, Philip, the first time I opened up a heart artery, I couldn't believe what I saw. It was dental plaque. Dental plaque. That was what was going on. And that gets into the brain and into the blood, causing arteriosclerosis. Well, how does that happen, doctor? Well, people don't brush their teeth before they eat. They wait until they eat, and then all the plaque goes down into the system. Of course, that takes 20, 30, 40 years. But it's a good idea to brush your teeth before you eat.
And that's different because, again, you know, you're told brush your teeth after every meal. Like, I'm a toothbrusher, too. I brush them 2, 3, 4 times a day. It depends, you know, when I eat.
It's
but
good to do it after, too, of course.
You know, but I had not heard that, you know, brushing them before is actually better. And sometimes I actually do brush my teeth before I go eat because then I have to leave and go eat.
Well, you sleep all during the night, the plaque forms.
Mm-hmm.
In your teeth, on your teeth, and your tongue, and so forth and so on. And it's a good idea to brush your tongue also. So I thought very seriously that if plaque is getting into my brain, it would be better to avoid that by brushing my teeth before I eat to avoid that from happening. And it also goes to the heart. And by the way, you know the heart and the tongue are connected. That's Chinese medicine. And when you have a tongue full of plaque, where does it seep down to? Into the artery, going to the heart.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm sure most people, they don't understand that or even knew that.
No, most people don't, including myself. I only started about 10 years ago.
But at least you started, right?
Yes. And I feel very bright, and it's very important to be bright when you're 82. Otherwise, people walk away from you and think, oh, he's losing it.
Uh-huh. Like my mom is 85, and what keeps her with her head actually being so good is that we play a lot of cards.
Oh, perfect. You know, exercise the brain.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and that creates blood circulation. That's wonderful.
You know, her main goal is to beat me at Canasta, and you know, so she has to really concentrate in order to do that. But we play cards a lot, you know, just so that, you know, we're doing something.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Exercise the mind, and also breathing fresh air, running, walking. It's a very good idea as you get older to walk as much as you can, a mile or two a day, and deep breathing.
Can you give out the name of your book and your website again, please?
Yes, thank you. It is www.longevitycodebook. One word, longevitycodebook.com. And as I said, I'm interested in having every one of your listeners download it free and enjoy it. 285 pages, 18 chapters of good information for lasting health and vitality beyond 60, 70, and 80.
That word free ought to get a lot of people. So remember, you guys that are listening out there, it is free, so don't blow this chance to get the book, okay? The other thing, when we talk about children in general,
yes,
today's children are very, very intelligent. I mean, they come here very, very intelligent.
That's right.
Almost too intelligent,
yes,
sometimes. And a lot of times people can't handle that. Is there anything that you can suggest to any of the people out there who are parents on how to help handle some of these children that tend, and I have to say that because I don't agree with the labeling, but tend to be diagnosed with ADD, ADHD?
Well, I blame a lot on the computers and these little fast games and so forth and so on. I used to think it was a way of attacking the generation of children coming out of America, because all these came out of Japan, and it was back in World War II that they were finding a way to get rid of us, so to speak. But I don't know. I just think it's so difficult for a child to absorb all of this radiation through his brain and into his body. And those little computers, by the way, give out an extreme amount of radiation that cause eyesight problems, brain problems, one thing or another. It's damaging. It's extremely damaging. And they're holding it probably less than a foot away from their eyes and their brain. So that's one of the causes. But I think you had a second part of that question.
Is there a way to help the parents to kind of, maybe do different kinds of exercises or something with them?
Yes, well, it would be wonderful. One of the best is a trampoline. That's a good backyard exercise. Or getting them into sports, concentration sports like shooting baskets, basketball, soccer, where they run and so forth and so on. Good sports are extremely important and gets them away from the computer. If they can, that's the best method. Swimming, any kind of exercise where they're breathing extreme amounts of oxygen. And by the way, one of the chapters in my book is actually oxygen. Oxygen is the staff of life. It's so important to get heavy breathing into the body, particularly as a child, because they're growing and all their organs are forming and so forth and so on. And I say to discourage them from too many mind plays, more physical, and that way they'll develop more generally balanced, I would say, and in good shape.
See, one of the things that the schools are doing that I really just have a very hard time with is that they're taking away their gym time, where they're getting to play, they're getting to go outside, and yet they expect those kids to sit in class and just not fidgety, not be bad, and pay attention. And it's like, come on, you as an adult can't do that.
I it's almost beyond my belief. In the state of Arizona, and not to knock any one state or another, not having to do with that, but it's very interesting to me that none of the schools have windows. Now, I'm sure that's probably because of the heat and air conditioning and one thing or another, but can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Yeah, and this is going on. So, I mean, as far as outdoor recreation, no, guess what they do? They go into a gym with fluorescent lights.
Which are very bad, and I don't
Terrible.
Think people understand that.
Terrible for the brain. It actually sends out a signal that is destructive. It's amazing. And so many people, including myself, worked under fluorescent lights for years in offices and what have you, and I'm sure that's a great cause of poor eyesight. So fresh air, sunshine, get out and breathe and walk and exercise. That is such a wonderful feeling in the body.
Another thing is that a lot of people probably don't know this, but wearing different colors also affects a person's makeup.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, there are some glasses around that I haven't seen lately called color therapy glasses, you probably know of, that can actually stimulate various organs of the body just by color. And color is very, very important. It can be healing, and it can be destructive. It can be friendly, it can be cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how a bride will wear white. White is an example, because that's just bright and cheerful.
Mm-hmm.
And various funereal people will wear black because that's death, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's various interpretations of color. But yes, color is very important. And many people have been cured of cancer just by watching a certain color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the people that I actually interviewed on the show when I first started did color therapy.
Uh-huh.
You know, which was really,
great.
You know, to me it was very exciting because, you know, I believe that if somebody puts on a real yucky, dull color to go to work that
uh-huh.
day, chances are they're going to have not such a good day.
Right. That's
okay.
So true. I think the one chapter I'd like to add to my book is color therapy. It is a great subject. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Yes, definitely.
You know, and I'm one who loves color. In fact, some of the things that people say to me is, man, Nancy, you've got some wild colors. It's like, well, yeah. You know, colors are fun. You know, they're good. They're exciting. You know?
Yes, they are.
And I think people need to kind of not be afraid to wear color. I don't care if you're, you know, huge or a little teeny tiny person. Color makes a big difference with people, just their energy alone.
Yes, getting exposed to that. You probably don't know this about me, but I was in New York for Madison Avenue for 45 years, and it was all dark gray flannel suits and dark gray this, or maybe a black suit and black tie and so forth and so on. That was the uniform of the executive in those days. And then when I sold my business and dropped out, so to speak, I moved to Guatemala, Central America, and I was there for 5 years, and that is the most colorful country in the world. Everything is bright color, jungle colors. Beautiful colors, weaving colors, and so forth and so on. It changed my life. I think that's where I started to become healthy.
Probably. I went to Peru, South America a long time ago because I was going to start
an
importing business. Their colors there, I have never seen colors like they made sweaters and stuff.
Right.
Colors there were absolutely gorgeous. You know, so we brought a bunch of the sweaters home, and then we like sold them real quick because the colors were just so vivid and so pretty. You know, and I thought, man, this is kind of neat.
Oh, it is. And you notice, probably, I'm sure, that everyone's very happy there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the color makes them happy.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine New York with dark gray flannel suits and dark black ties and what have you? Everybody's in a real sour mood.
Oh, they are.
Friendly. At least in those days. It's probably changed.
No, I wouldn't bet on it too much. No offense to the New York people, but they're kind of crotchety a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think a lot of that has to do with the big buildings that are there, because
mm-hmm.
most of them are just steel, and, you know, they just reflect all the energy that's bouncing off of all those buildings.
Yeah, and it's also very polluted. It's when I was living there, it was stated that the air in New York was equal to smoking a pack of cigarettes a day.
Yuck. You know what, Philip? Our time is actually just about up. It went by so quick.
Oh, gosh, it's been so much fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope we can help your listeners. My intention is to help people. And if they look at the website, read the book, it's theirs for the keeping in it. And for good health and lasting health and vitality.
Good. Give the website out again, Philip, please.
www.longevitycodebook. One word. Longevitycodebook.com.
Okay,
with my best wishes.
You get that book. And, Philip, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. It's been a lot of fun. And we're going to have to talk about, like I said, the board, you know, with you being on Charles Merlin.
Oh, yes, definitely. Thank you very much for that. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Good. You take care. And, again, thanks for being on the show.
Blessings.
You're welcome. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. I hope you take some note on what Philip had to say today. Try it. If you don't believe him, try it. Try those things he talked about. Try the sticks. Get his book. Learn all about it. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and take care, and we'll talk to you later. Bye now.